Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know every month we have our good friend Than Bennett on the show for what we've been calling a faith perspective from the Hill. Well, as you know, if you've been listening the last few months, Than stepped away from his role on Capitol Hill and now serves the kingdom in a completely different way. So we still are touching on news items. If you listen to this show, you often hear themes of deeper life, of inner healing, of health, of wholeness, of redemption, of being mobilized in your purpose. Those are kind of my sweet spot of things I tackle. But once a month, we do want to touch on news items. And I will tell you, there's lots of media that you can listen to and get stirred up. You can sit in your echo chamber and get so stirred up to anger and bitterness that it leaves you nowhere except disoriented. And so I know that you have your different choices on where you want to get your news, and I'm not a source of news. But what I want to do with this time with Than is to lift up what is going on. And there's just nobody I trust more than Than to bring us a humble, calm, civil, biblical perspective. And even though if you're listening and you feel like you're coming from the other side of the aisle, so to speak, I pray that you can approach the table today with a humble, teachable heart, because we live in a highly offendable world. And as Christians, Scripture says, don't let a root of bitterness take root, because it'll spring up and defile many. And we think that we're maybe absolved from bitterness around our politicians, as long as I'm not bitter against my neighbor or my friend, right? But no, any kind of bitterness is toxic for the soul, and it's toxic for the community. So somehow, some way, we've got to learn how to process the news, process what grieves us in a Christ-like, pure-hearted way, so that we can pray with power. In fact, just the other day, I was pondering this passage about scripture, about forgiveness, and it talked about you can pray for anything, but when you're praying, you can pray for anything and you can know that you'll have it. But well, first, forgive anybody you're holding an offense against. I mean, that's in Mark. I want to say Mark 4, but it's in the Gospel of Mark. It shows you that miracles are linked with forgiveness. I want you to think about that, that you can have a powerful prayer life, but you're harboring unforgiveness, bitterness against anybody. That will impact your prayers. And ultimately, we're here to be stewards. We're here to be ambassadors, not to react to the news, but to respond to the good news so that we can shine bright in the dark world. So, all of that said, I pray we can all come to the table today with a humble, teachable heart and hear what God has to say as we just explore some of these news topics. So these are some of the things we're going to touch on that you're already hearing about in the news. The latest on the FBI, the Durham report, having to do with the 2016 elections. The surveillance tools that have been intended for foreign use have been used on thousands of U.S. citizens. What do we know about that? What are we to do about that? The debt limit deadline and negotiations. Border security. And then just delving deeper into some spiritual things is the difference between the capital T truth and a truth. Is there a difference? And then what to do if we have time? What to do when God's voice seems silent? A couple quick announcements before I introduce Than. Before I introduce him, I just got to say he needs no introduction. But we have an app, if you don't know. It's a free app. If you go to your app store, search Faith Radio Network, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can live stream the show from anywhere. It comes in nice and clear. And you can catch podcasts after the fact. Go to your app store and just search for the Faith Radio Network. And also, I've recently launched a new short podcast called the Grow and Go Podcast. It's 2 minutes every day that just helps you grow in your walk with God and go out into the world. So if you go to any podcast player, search Grow and Go or Suzy Larson, you'll find it there. All right, now, let me tell you about my friend. We'll get him on the show. Than Bennett is the founder and president of Every Good Work, which exists to equip Jesus followers for a life of impact. He and his wife, Brooke, are co-founders of A Fearless Life, which works to, listen to this, find and fund a family for every adoption eligible foster child in America. Fearless Life works to find and fund a family for every adoption-eligible foster child in America. Then is more than 20 years of high-level public policy experience with a particular focus in the U.S. Congress and United Nations. He's the author of In Search of the King and My Fame, His Fame. Then and Brooke live in Southern Maryland with their three children, and the Bennetts are longtime members of the National Community Church in Washington, D.C. One last thing, our text line still isn't up, so no matter what you're texting me, I'm not seeing it right now. If you want to email my producer, Angela, at myfaithradio.com. And Than, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Susie, my friend. It's so good to be back with you.
Thank you. Looking forward to our conversation today. And before we get there, you've been on plenty of times, enough to know. We start by making it personal. So what about it? What's God been talking to you about these days?
Yeah, you know this, Susie. It's my favorite part of the show. Love getting a chance to just share what I'm hearing from God. And he's been talking to me lately about what it means to be hidden in him. And I actually wrote about this a little bit in this morning's edition of my newsletter, the Equipped newsletter, but Colossians 3 says it this way. And this is kind of the verse that really he's been speaking to me through. It says, "For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." And I just think that paints a beautiful, beautiful image. You know, all of us, certainly me, and I know you would say the same thing, everyone listening, we have things that we're ashamed of, or we have shortcomings that separate us from God. But Susie, in God's eyes, those flaws are consumed by the perfecting work of Jesus Christ, the work that he did on the cross, if we're followers of him. And so God's just been really speaking to me through that concept, but he's been speaking to me about specifically how that translates into our interactions with other people, right? Because other people are going to let us down, and we let other people down. And actually, Paul wrote about this. Paul writes so candidly in his letters to the churches, but when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, "I'm afraid that when I come, I might not find you as I want you to be, and you might not find me as you want me to be." So, right, he's like warning them in advance that they're going to be a little disappointed in each other, right? But it's sort of just like God is saying, when you encounter that disappointment in other people, or when you let other people down, decide in advance that you're going to give grace, because that grace already covered you, Than. It already allowed you to be hidden within the perfection of my son, Jesus Christ. And so you need to offer that to others as well. And maybe just kind of one final thought to tie it in a bow. My life's goal, Susie, is not to please people. It's to follow Jesus. Again, just to quote Paul, he said, if I were trying to please people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ, right? It's not the best strategic advice if you're trying to win a popularity contest to choose the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the reward of following him, Susie, is so much greater than a popularity contest, and it's so much longer. And that reward is really where it circles back to this concept of hidden, because if we're following him and if that's our life's goal, our reward is that we're going to be hidden within the perfection of the work that was done by Jesus on the cross. And so when I encounter disappointment in myself, or when I encounter disappointment in those that I run into, I'm returning to this concept of the fact that I have this beautiful gift of being hidden within the Son of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful and beautiful thing, Susie.
Amen. In fact, what you're saying to me, Than, is another one of those ways of preempting a gospel response, because I'm convinced the enemy wants us in a series of reactions. He wants us so unprepared for the things that we encounter that our flesh reacts, because then the message of God's love gets lost in translation. The sense of our identity and destiny gets lost in translation. But to preemptively say, when I get up in the morning and I put my shoes on to go out the door, I'm going to remind myself I'm hidden in Christ, and I'm going to give grace. I'm going to decide ahead of time to be proactive with grace. I mean, again, those are proactive, preemptive ways to, I think, thwart the enemy's plans. And that gets us out of a series of reactions and into the mindset of response, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's a pre-decision, right? I mean, I think we've talked about this before, but there is a very frequently used strategy right now where communicators or content creators, or, you know, even political campaigns, the whole strategy, Susie, is to to flood the zone with just incredible amounts of content. So you're constantly busy consuming them and absorbing them, and you don't really have time to be proactive, as you're saying. And so, what God's been impressing on me is you've got to make that decision in advance. You've got to make the decision in advance how you're going to respond. But I think we've also got to make a decision on how we're going to sort of throttle and curate our intake, right? There's always going to be more out there for us to intake. We want to be informed. We want to be educated. That's part of the conversation that you and I have every month. We definitely don't want to live with our heads in the sand, but we also want to rise above the skirmishes of, you know, this temporary home. And so I just think in order to make that pre-decision, we actually have to be very strategic about, okay, where am I going to intake information? Where am I going to make sure I'm filling up on God's word? How am I going to make sure that those things happen in proportion? Therefore, that will determine what flows out of me when I enter in those circumstances. And, you know, I think if we don't give that a lot of intentionality, Susie, we can have the best of intentions, and it will be really hard to do if what we're consuming is just constantly what those who are out are pushing out, what they decide. We have to be the ones that throttle that.
That's so good. Okay, before we go to break, just to tease the next section, we've got a whole list, a bulleted list of topics to talk about. Without explaining any backstory, when you look at the news topics these days, for you, what's standing most out to you? Just give me the topic and we'll cover it on the other side.
Okay, yeah, for me, the topic is definitely abuses inside our law enforcement, specifically the FBI. And I won't explain it, Susie, but I will just say this. It's not nearly as one-sided as wherever you're getting your information you might see, but there is an abuse that's happening. And to me, that's the top line story right now.
Wow. Wow. Thanks for that, Dan. Okay. And friends, remember, we don't have a text line yet. It's coming. It's coming. But in the meantime, if you've got a question, you can email our wonderful producer. She's amazing. Angela. I call her Angie, but her email is Angela@myfaithradio.com. If you've got a question about the times we're in, and if you feel like sending me an amen, I'm sort of lost without this text line, go ahead and email an amen to Angela@myfaithradio.com. Talking to Than Bennett about the times we're in, a biblical perspective. What does God want us to know? What does God want us to do? Those are some of the questions of the hour, right? We'll be back in a minute. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about faith, you can text the word faith to 41224. Hope you're having a really fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our very good friend, Than Bennett, who joins us once a month to give us a faith perspective on the news items of the day. He's got an amazing newsletter called The Equipped that you can subscribe, and that way you get kind of a news from a redemptive perspective. And he highlights beautiful things in the world as well and just reminds us to frame our perspective in light of eternity. And really with all of the news, as he was saying, all the outlets that you have and all of the content being kind of shoved down your throat, you've got to decide on the limits to your inputs and then what kind of fruit it's bearing in your life. Are you turning bitter? Are you getting hateful towards people who think and vote differently than you? Because as a Christian, those things really matter. So what we're trying to do today is to touch on some of the news items without avoiding them. We're not putting our head in the sand, but trying to bring a redemptive perspective. So the first news point is the latest on the FBI. And Than, you said that's probably burdening your heart the most, and that the misuse of power is not on one side of the aisle either. Say more.
Well, yeah, I think it's burdening my heart the most. And I also think it's probably the best example of exactly what you just described, Susie. And so maybe just a word about this. I mean, this is a story that no matter where you are on the political spectrum, even as a believer, it's likely to produce anxiousness or fear or anger or division. And almost anywhere where you hear coverage of this, there's going to be a sort of a built-in incentive to ramp that up in your heart and mind. And so when we write about it, when we talk about these stories, we really try to do it with an intentional goal at marking lives with power, love, and sound mind, rather than that fear, rather than that anxiousness. And honestly, these are the stories, Susie, that we try to pull out because these are the difficult ones too, but they're still really important. These deal with serious issues. And in this case, the reason this is so serious is because one of our most powerful law enforcement agencies, the FBI, has now in back-to-back weeks had things come to life that have revealed that it has behaved really very poorly in recent years. And we've known a lot of this, but there were two specific sort of news items over the last couple of weeks. The first one, as you mentioned, is what is known as the Durham Report. This is the special counsel's report that was looking at the FBI's activities around the 2016 election, specifically their look at Hillary Clinton's emails, and then also their look at allegations that Donald Trump's campaign may or may not have colluded with Russia and Russian interference into the elections. Susie, the report, it's over 300 pages long, and it's really sobering. It basically concludes that the FBI did not have, the term that they use in the report is they did not have strict fidelity to the law. I mean, if any institution needs to have strict fidelity to the law, it needs to be a law enforcement agency like the FBI that has the awesome power that it has. And it also found that they repeatedly allowed political bias to impact their actions. And, you know, no matter where you stand on the political spectrum, that just can't happen. The FBI fell down on the job on that issue. And then this past week, Susie, a court order from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. That's a sort of a fancy term, but this is a court that authorizes surveillance and access to information that is gathered from overseas. The FBI was found to have misused that tool, get this, almost 300,000 times against U.S. citizens. Now, this is a tool that is only supposed to be used overseas against foreign or on foreign targets. Now, occasionally it does pick up information if an American citizen is interacting with someone overseas, but you're not supposed to be able to what they call query, which is draw information from that database on a U.S. citizen who is based here domestically. And this is, we tease this out a little bit. I know this is a little bit in the weeds, but I think this is very, very important for people to grasp. It was used on citizens ranging on from everything from people who participated in the January 6th protests to BLM protest participants and really everywhere in between. So it was a really, truly breathtaking abuse of power. And I know that was sort of a long narrative, but I think it's important to really follow up quickly on that. So what do we do with this story, right? What do Jesus followers do with it? And I'll just give a blurb here because I write more about it in the newsletter, but I want to give you two verses. First, Matthew 7:20, it says, "By your fruits, their fruits, you will recognize them." And Susie, I think it's important, even if though it's not fun, it's not cheery, the fruit coming out of the FBI right now is sour, and I think we need to acknowledge it directly, and we need to acknowledge it directly so that there can be corrective action taken. And then secondly, I think we should model Hebrews 13:17, which calls on us to respect our authorities, calls on us to submit to them, but also holds those authorities accountable for their actions. And Susie, I think we as Jesus followers across the political spectrum have to be the people who resist the agitation, because there's a lot of opportunity for political leverage here. But we should be the people who come together to accomplish change, because this is definitely a change that infringes on our liberties and that is really important to correct in short order.
What are you saying? Are you saying as far as Christians, we pray, we speak up? I mean, what else can we do as far as to help ensure that this doesn't happen? And are there any other accountability infrastructures in place that once that's discovered? Because I think some people feel like we are in such a lawless time. You know, I think it says it in Daniel, one other place in scripture, truth is thrown to the ground. it almost feels like that, even in structures of power, that, well, that might be true, but we don't really care. I mean, that does, I mean, God sees and he misses nothing, but what are we to do? And what are there any infrastructures in place to, for accountability's sake, once these things have come to surface?
Yeah, it's a really wise question, Susie, and I do think there are a couple of things that, can be done. First of all, there are prosecutorial avenues for even government officials who abuse this power. If they violated their oath to the Constitution or they violated statutory authority granted to them, the Department of Justice should bring charges against them. And I know that sounds a little far-fetched because you're talking about an agency within the Department of Justice. But in order for our way of government to work properly, accountability does have to take place. And, you know, one of the biggest stumbling blocks to this right now is a lot of us want to look at these abuses and say, well, okay, what were they going after? You know, maybe it was worth it to go after a January 6th protester if you're coming from the perspective of, say, the left. You know, someone says, well, maybe that, you know, someone who is conducting violence over the summer of 2020 in the racial protest, maybe that's worth abusing the power to get the wrongdoer. And we've got to lay that down, Susie, in order to clean chop on this. We can't allow the sympathetic or unsympathetic nature of whoever was the target of that use of authority, right? That can't be the determining factor on whether or not the government can misuse an authority like that. And so that's number one. And just quickly, number two, I think followers of Jesus of every political stripe need to expect their elected officials to enact reforms. This program, this very program of using surveillance tools to gather information, it's up for reauthorization this year. And Susie, I don't think it should be reauthorized without very specific tightening of the controls and very specific tightening on the repercussions that would take place if that were to happen. I won't get too far in the weeds on this, but I would just give you one very simple fix, or at least improvement. If the government wants to go into this court, this private court, and ask for permission to get information on a U.S. citizen, there ought to be someone inside that courtroom in front of that judge advocating for the proposed target. At this point, there is not. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's consistent with our way of government. And I think in every case, there ought to be someone in that room making the case for the target.
Well, innocent, guilty. Otherwise, it seems that there is a setup there to accommodate your bias, because you can justify about anything and build a case against about anybody. So if there are no constraints in place, then you're just weaponizing your power to justify your convictions, right?
That's a scriptural concept, right? The first to argue his case seems right until the second comes and argues his. And I think that's a concept that should filter all the way, even to this type of court. Yes, it's not a criminal court. It's not technically an adversarial court, but maybe in this case it should be adversarial. Maybe the defendant, maybe the target of the invasion of privacy or the invasion of their rights, maybe they should have a voice inside that courtroom. I actually think that's probably a unifying principle on both the left and the right.
Wow. Quick question before we go to break. Do you think anything will come of these FBI findings? Do you think there will be any kind of accountability?
I don't want to sound cynical, but the trend has not been great on this, Susie. I think it will have to bubble up from the grassroots. I really do. But again, I'll be concise here. There's an opportunity because the program has to be reauthorized this year. And if the American people say we don't want that program reauthorized without protections, that's a real leverage point.
Wow. Good for you to know, friend, right? Talking to Than Bennett when we come back. We're going to talk about the debt ceiling limit. Also, this wasn't in your talking points, but love a little bit of comment on Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch, his thoughts on post-COVID review. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our great friend Than Bennett, who joins us once a month to take a look at the news headlines and try to process them from a redemptive perspective. Just a reminder, our text line, we've switched from one text provider to another, and we're in that transition process, so I don't have a text line up. So if you're texting things, I'm not seeing them. But if you'd like to ask a question, make a comment, you can email my producer, and she'll put them up on the chat board for me, Angela@myfaithradio.com. Again, our purpose here isn't to provide more echo chamber, but to try to bring some really important news items to the forefront of our minds and try to process them with a redemptive perspective from a biblical lens so that we're not left filled with more angst, more anger, more bitterness, or frustration, but that we understand the times and we know what to do. So let's talk a bit about this debt limit deadline. What do you know and what should we know?
Yeah, Susie, this is actually the story, even though we started with the FBI story, this is the story that's dominating the traditional headlines out of D.C., and it has for several weeks now, and it's going to for at least another week or two. But I would tell you it's probably about the most predictable thing you can imagine every time we bump up against one of these deadlines. And to be real honest with you, one of the main focuses for the Equipped newsletter on this story has been to clearly point out for Jesus followers that a lot of this is really just drama, and sort of to try to drill, to narrow the funnel of the information that we're taking in. Now, all that to say, the underlying issue here is really, really very important. We as a country spend way more than we take in, and that is That's a really big problem, and it requires us to take on more and more debt and to take that debt on at a faster and faster rate. But Susie, there's a legal limit. It's set in law at how much we as a nation can borrow. And so in order to avoid defaulting on that debt, Congress periodically has to raise the debt limit as long as we continue to spend more than we bring in. And we're bumping up very close to that limit. Mm-hmm. Now, the Treasury Department says we'll run out around June 1st, although I will tell you that's an arbitrary deadline. They can get much farther than that if they need to. But I lay all that foundation to say this. Almost everything you're going to hear about this story is really sort of like yelling and screaming from one side or the other in order to gain leverage over those negotiations. And so at the Equip, what we're trying to do is sort of cut through that noise and just be honest about what will happen. And in fact, in this morning's newsletter, I tried to make this point very literally. I literally wrote only three sentences about this week's update on this issue. I wrote, there is not a deal yet. There will be a deal at some point, and federal spending is still far greater than federal revenue. And it was sort of an attempt to inject humor, Susie, but the United States isn't going to default on its debt. That a deal will come together and probably should. You don't want to default on your debt. You want to pay your bills. But at the same time, every household knows this is also a biblical concept. You can't just keep spending more than you bring in. And until the federal government honors that principle, this cycle is just going to keep repeating, and we will be up against this debt limit, eventually in the future. I don't know how much they will end up raising at this time, but we will hit it again unless we start spending within our means.
I'm going to ask you a question that seems obvious, like it has an obvious answer, but I still want you to answer it. What happens if we never retreat from this place, but we just keep increasing the debt limit? Like, what cast a vision for our future?
Yeah. Well, look, the main ways that the blessing of God has fallen on our country is the fact that we have been able to lead the economic systems around the world. And that has allowed a great flourishing, a great blessing in our country. And it's allowed us to be a blessing to countries around the world. Susie, if we keep behaving like this fiscally and our fiscal house stays out of order, we will lose that status, and we will lose that status very, very rapidly. I mean, to put it in just very simple terms, we will go bankrupt. In a sense, we already are, although it's a little bit
more complicated. We're not the leaders anymore, even economically. We're not the economic superpower we used to be. I think we're number four or something on the list, aren't we?
And I mean, it would depend what metric you're using. I would suggest to you that China is probably in a better fiscal place than we are. Still something like 3 out of every 4 transactions around the world is executed through the U.S. dollar and using the SWIFT banking system that we control. But you're right, Susie. the glide path that we're on. Well, glide path's not even the right word. The rapid downward spiral that we're in is trending that direction because of this very reason. And so I would say two things. I mean, one, I think Philippians 4 that says, don't be anxious about anything. We don't belong here forever, Susie. So this is not a cause for us to lose our peace. At the same time, it is a time to be sober and realistic about the status of America's place in the world is anything but automatic. And I think this issue, the fiscal issue, I think that is the single biggest threat to America's standing in the world.
Wow. And the moral issue is also, you know, when you're talking, I can't remember, it's Proverbs, I want to say maybe 29, I don't remember the reference, but if I know Angie, she'll have it up in a minute, but it says something like this, a life without restraint is like a city with broken down walls. So you think a city with broken down walls is easy for the enemy to steal. It's the same with a life without restraint. So if we can bring it in closer, you know, we you know, most of us, we're not in D.C. We're not making laws. But in your own life as a Christ follower, I talk about this often. I think it's so important. Practice self-restraint. I mean, really boil it down to just because you can eat it doesn't mean you ought to. Just because you can buy it doesn't mean you should have it. I mean, I think once in a while we've got to be able to, Proverbs 25:28. She's amazing. I told her she's like my own artificial intelligence chat GPT person. I say something and she's got the link up just like that. But I mean, I think we should pause and talk about this for a minute because, you know, you can shake your fist all day long going, they're spending more than, you know, we're making. But we as people, as God's people, there's something so powerful. I mean, self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And there are ways, Than, we can practice restraint as believers that make us better Christians. We can restrain from saying things we feel like saying when they ought not be said, or from buying, or from eating, or drinking, or whatever. And it's not about legalism, but it is about going, my flesh wants this stuff, and I'm going to say no and make my flesh deal with it, because some kind of practice of restraint on a regular basis is good for everybody.
There's two things you said there that I want to try to react to. First, you said the fiscal issue is a moral issue. 100% correct, Susie. I mean, our ability to be a blessing around the world depends on us as a nation keeping our fiscal house in order. And every household in this country knows that. You know that in order to be generous, you have to be responsible with what God has provided to you. I've heard your husband, Kevin, and you talk about this, exercising generosity at the beginning of a budget, not just to determine whether or not there's anything left over. But if you exercise it at the beginning of a budget, you make sure it's a priority in your life. And it just sort of naturally sets in order the rest of your expenditure habits. Susie, the second thing is you talk about restraint. This is why I really do believe this, and this is a difficult one for me, but this is why fasting is such an important discipline, because it exercises that no muscle in your life and in your daily habits. It sets a rhythm of saying, yes, I could, but I won't intentionally, specifically for the purpose of denying myself, exercising that no muscle, and setting your mind on something outside of your own internal craving. So just those two points. It's absolutely a moral issue, and you have to start with generosity, and that involves denying yourself.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound just silly, but I'm just saying because I'm so aware of how important just the practice of self-restraint is in a day of such lawlessness and indulgence and entitlement. One of the little things that I've been just imposing upon myself these days is when I'm making my salad, instead of taking a few bites while I'm making it, I don't mean to sound like a legalist, I'm just saying this little practice is a reminder to me to bump up against my flesh, that I'm saying no, not until I've just offer the whole thing up to the Lord and thank him for every bite. And I'm just challenging you. And maybe, friends, you know, it's like getting your groceries in your car. Before you open that bag of chips on your way home, just say, I'm going to wait till I get home. I'm going to pray over these groceries, to where you're just mindful of the blessing of God and mindful of how often we accommodate our flesh. And I think, man, as Christians, if we start to just be mindful on a very personal level, it can't not affect us on a corporate level. So, okay, here's a question I want to tackle before the break. An email came in, and just a reminder, friends, there's no text line up right now. We're in process of transitioning to a new text provider. If you want to email a question or comment, email my amazing producer, Angie, by emailing her at Angela at myfaithradio.com. Cheryl says, if possible, could Susie ask Than if there's any talk or action taking place to strike down the $40 monthly fee against borrowers with good credit to subsidize those whose credit is less than stellar? That's another one of those mind-boggling, make-your-brain-explode kind of things. So any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of information on that one, Susie. I did see a headline about it, but I actually would like to refrain on digging too deep on that because I haven't read the source material on it, and I really try not to comment. But sometimes those things are right, and sometimes they are incorrect. I will say this just sort of generally, and then I want to backtrack to the point you just made. Those kind of, I would call them shell game schemes, definitely happen inside the regulatory atmosphere in DC, where in order to raise funds for a certain program, you will raise fees on, you know, another subset. And it's just sort of a way to rob Peter to pay Paul. I would decline to go more specifically on that at this point, but I would say this, I love your example of the salad, Susie. And I don't want to, I this might sound a little bit self-serving. You don't have to choose the equipped as the result of this, but I think the biggest threat, or one of the biggest threats for Jesus followers, is in the infotainment space. We've got to make a plan, Susie. We've got to make a plan for where we're going to get the information we need, because we do need it, and we need it to be accurate. We need it to be truthful. We need to be informed in order to inject the light of Jesus into the world and into to be relevant into situations. But Susie, I can just tell you, if we don't make a plan in advance, if we just turn that TV on, it's going to be on until you go to bed. And if you have a plan, it's just so liberating, because you get what you need, and then you have time for the other things that, quite honestly, can put that information into practice.
So good. You know, infotainment, what an interesting way to put it. Again, you can get your news from echo chambers, but I think as Christians, we've got to be so careful about that. And it truly is on both sides of the aisle. I remember listening to one of my echo chambers, and the Lord brought to mind Psalm 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditate on it day and night, like trees planted along a riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. Not so with the wicked. And it says, you know, God will deal with them. But I want to just say, your newsletter, you take out the heat, right? You're giving us the points, and then you're giving us a biblical perspective. And I think it's super important, because no matter what side of the aisle that you're on, if you're listening to what Than is calling infotainment, and you start to hear mocking and berating and people making fun of or assigning motives because they're all bad and we're all good, there's something wrong with that. And we really do need to steward those inputs. So how do the people sign up for Equipped?
Yeah, it's at the equippednewsletter.com, Susie. And I just, there will be stuff in there that's uncomfortable because facts are uncomfortable. But I would just say this, the goal here is not to not have a worldview. We do have a worldview, and we want to be engaged, but we refine that if we're willing to test that worldview up against reality. And so that's what we try to do. It's theequippednewsletter.com.
TheEquippedNewsletter.com. Melissa writes in as we go to break, really appreciate you having Than on your show. It's nice to know we can get truth from him. I read his book, My Fame, His Fame. It's excellent. Thanks to our wonderful God that no matter what happens, we win. Amen. And then she goes, oh my goodness, I'm eating chips right now. You're so right. I got to stop and give thanks with intentional gratitude. I love her so much. But, you know, again, not at all meant to be legalistic, but I'm telling you, there are places in your life where there are just assumptions and presumptions and entitlement that if you start to push back a little bit on, you feel shored up. I feel like there, you know, anytime we overaccommodate the flesh, we weaken the spirit. But if you can go, I'm going to pull that in a little bit. I want to know you more, Lord. Something beautiful happens. Self-restraint is a fruit of the spirit. All right, then when we come back, I actually don't know what we're going to talk about. And I always know. I'm a planner, but I don't know. So let's see where God takes us. More with Than Bennett in a minute.
Hi, this is Bill Arnold. I know you're enjoying listening to Susie Larson Live right now, and you've made it a priority to do so. That's smart. I would really like you to listen to my podcast. So after you have fed the dog, walked the dog, and played fetch with the dog, you can tune in to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Also, if you don't have a dog, I just saved you lots of time.
Pray you're having a beautiful day. We're having a great conversation with our good friend Dan Bennett. He joins us every month to get a faith perspective on the news highlights of what's going on in the world. We don't want to put our head in the sand. We don't want to shake our fist at the darkness. We want to understand the times, and we want to know what to do. In a moment here, we're going to play an audio clip from one of Than's ministries, The Fearless Life. You're going to be amazed when you hear it. But first, let's talk quickly about border security. Than, what do you say?
Yeah, this is one of the other lead stories from this month, Susie, something that people have probably heard of as Title 42, which we won't get into the weeds here, but this was an authority to remove illegal migrants from the country based on the health emergency that was happening. And it was one of the most significant tools to secure the border, quite honestly, the southern border of the United States. The administration decided to stop using that authority, and as a result, those who are crossing the border illegally have the numbers have risen dramatically. And so you have a situation right now where the federal government and states all across the country are in an adversarial position on how to handle the influx of migrants. And just quickly, I think we as Jesus followers, we've talked about it some on this broadcast, without restraint, without proper control of the border, we actually can't offer the opportunity to those seeking a better life that we could otherwise. However, even in the face of that really threatening environment, I really just want to encourage us as Jesus followers to heed the admonition that's all throughout Scripture. Regardless how the foreigner ends up in our backyard, regardless of what we think the proper policy remedy is, I have very strong opinions that the border should be more secure. But Susie, when that precious image bearer of God shows up in my neighborhood, I should be one of the ones there to provide support for that image bearer of God. And so it's just one of those ways where one of the shortcomings of our government really lands on our doorstep, but it is an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Mm. And the Lord will sort it out in the end. We have to remember that. You know, he'll sort it out in the end. Rosella writes in, such heavy news. Than is doing such a great job of explaining these serious issues thoroughly and calmly in an understandable way. And great to hear Susie live again. Love to you all. Blessings and shalom. Rosella, thank you for that so much. Okay, before we hear this audio clip from your website, afearlesslife.org, remind people again what afearlesslife.org is all about.
Yeah, God is moving mightily in this space, Susie. I really hope people will check out this video. I know you're going to play it, but if they want to check it out and watch it, it's at afearlesslife.org. And quite simply, there are more than 400,000 children in the U.S. foster care system, and most of them are, the goal is to reunify them with biological family. But Susie, there's more than 120,000 of them that have had their biological family rights terminated. And so they face one of two realities. They will either age out of the system and become some form of homeless, or they will get adopted into a fearless family or into a forever family. And we call them fearless families. And so very simply, what we're looking for at A Fearless Life, we are looking for families with a heart to adopt these precious children. And when we find them, Susie, we're going to pay for the adoption costs. We are raising donor funds for that purpose right now. And actually, this is so cool. We are in the process right now of finalizing the first family who will be adopting using funds from A Fearless Life. So that's kind of the framework. I could talk about it all day, but that's the basics of what we're doing at A Fearless Life.
That's amazing. So what you're going to hear is audio. This audio goes to a really compelling video that can be found at afearlesslife.org. But the audio is compelling in and of itself. So let's listen.
Family. It's where life begins. It's where we're named. Family is where we love and are loved. It's where we discover our strengths and where our weaknesses don't define us.
It's where we prepare for our ventures into the big, wide world.
Family is where we learn who we're created to be. We all have value. Everyone deserves family.
So what happens when I'm without family? What then? When I find myself without family, am I still loved? Who will call out my screams? Who will love me when I make mistakes?
Is it possible that you're my family? Is it too much to wonder if I'm supposed to learn who I am alongside you? I know you might be afraid, but will you choose to be fearless?
Will you choose to be fearless?
Will you choose to be fearless? Will you choose to be fearless? Will you come find me? Because if you will, together we can be family.
You know, a dream come true would be to have some families found in our Faith Radio audience that would be connected with afearlesslife.org. If you're listening and your heart is quickening within you and you wonder, could that be me? Is there a child for me? I want you to connect with Than through the website afearlesslife.org. Anything else you want to say about that, Than?
My heart just leaps when I hear it, Susie, because I really believe God's doing a mighty work here. I really know that God already used his church when it came to infants, but this is the moment where God's raising up his church to provide families for older children who have been without it. And I guess I would just say this, Susie, there are a ton of needs around this, but I want to just mention two very specifically. We need families to open their homes to children. That's the main need. And if that, like you said, if that's you, we want to provide a way for you to provide a forever home for one of these children. And then number two, we're also asking those with resources to fund those families' adoptions. The financial hurdle to complete the process is very real for some families. But the way we've set it up, Susie, it's relatively low number. For every $7,500 we raise, we're going to put a child in a forever home. And I think that
wow.
Investment that will return for all of eternity. So those are the two needs. We need families, and then we need people to stand behind those families financially.
Wow. I know that the case that you're helping is confidential, but is there anything you can talk to us about how that miraculously came about?
Yeah, so the structure that we're using, Susie, is we're partnering with adoption agencies who, like you said, for privacy reasons, they will actually do all of the family vetting. We're working to build out a national network. We're hoping to be bringing on the second agency right now. The first family that's going to be funded is actually going to happen here in the DC area. Our first agency serves this area. And Susie, it's actually the agency that we have fostered 11 newborns through over the last 3 years. And so they're our first trusted agency, but we're talking to several others as well. And the dream would be that we would have one all across the country so that no matter where you are, we can provide a way for you to complete a cost-free adoption from foster care.
My goodness, imagine it. All these children finding homes of fearless parents who call out their strengths, who help them through their mistakes, who help them become who they never dreamed they could be. I mean, that to me is a miracle in the making over and over again, and that you stepped away from a secure job and a steady income to an unknown future, Than, because your heart breaks for orphans. I could cry at the thought of it. I just applaud you and Brooke so much.
Well, God is so good. He has been so faithful to us, and he is taking care of us, and we are so honored to be in his service. There is no better place to be, and I know your listeners feel the same way, and we're building something, Susie, that everyone can be a part of. And not just, you know, we've got a waiting list right now of 120,000 kids without a family. But I'm here to tell you, Susie, I'm standing on faith. We are going to live to see the day where the Church of Jesus Christ provides a waiting list of families for kids who come into need. We're going to turn
come
that
on.
Waiting list on its head by the grace of God.
Wow. As you were talking, I just got this visual of you and Brooke at a gala event that's for A Fearless Life, where you're doing in the room. It's like a big hotel auditorium filled with people dressed up, having a meal and raising funds and families coming together and testimonies of families. I think that is coming in the days ahead, my friend, where you're going to have children up giving their testimony and more families coming together to mobilize the church. I don't know. I think that day is ahead for you guys. You keep marching.
Well, I affirm that. And I will tell you this, whether that happens on earth or not, that is what heaven is going to look like, my friend.
Yeah. Testimonies and celebration. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Well, we love and appreciate you, Than. Keep on keeping on. And thank you for helping us handle the news in such a divisive day. We want to handle the news in a redemptive way. And you help us and equip us to do that. We love you and we bless you. Thank you, friend.
Yeah. We love you so much, Susie. Thank you. Mm.
Well, I pray you found some encouragement here today, friends. We've got to steward our perspective. We've got to tend to our hearts. We're believers. We're Christ followers. What happens in our hearts matters because it's what comes out of our lives. It's worth it, right? And you're worth it. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.